inside and outside. And I want to read this morning from the second book in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 19, if you want to turn and follow along. I always desire your prayers as I try to share from God's Word. Book of Exodus, chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. My text verse is going to come from the next one, which is verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. My thought for a few minutes of time this morning is going to be the value of our word and the value of our words. And I suppose we're all familiar with the phrase that says, say what you mean and mean what you say. Or in other words, do what you say that you will do. And in my scripture reading, verse 1 said, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, that same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, and they camped before the mount. Now, brothers and sisters, Sinai, I would say, is one of the most sacred locations in Israel's history. Moses has, that place was a place of many memories for Moses, for it was there that he met God in the burning bush and revealed his calling and God's promise that he would serve him there. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, we read, and he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, that when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Mount Sinai is where God made and gave his covenant with Israel. It's where Elijah had heard that still small voice. It's where the Ten Commandments, it's where the law or the guidelines for right living were given. It's where they learned about the potential blessings of obedience, and they also learned about the consequences of disobedience. My reading sets before us God's challenge to his people. The Lord had told Moses to go and say to the children of Israel these words that God was going to give to him. He wanted Moses to speak his words to remind them about their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. Not just the exodus from Egypt, but we know the Bible record of the journey from Egypt to the promised land. We know about what took place at the parting of the Red Sea. And I made mention maybe a week or so ago about them being without water and God speaking and telling them to speak to the rock and telling them to strike the rock. And there were many miracles of things that God did for the children of Israel on their journey. And the Lord wanted Moses to share his words with them about what the Lord had done. And he was telling them how that the blessings that they received were all tied to their obedience. When they did what God said to do, then God blessed them because of their obedience. He said, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, he said, then, if you'll do that, he said, then, he said, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And that was the words that Moses was to deliver unto the children of Israel. And according to my reading, he did that. He did exactly what God had instructed him to do. And I want us to look today for just a few moments of time at the answer. Moses did what God asked him to do. He delivered the words of the Lord unto them. And I want us to look at the words. I want us to look at the answer that the children of Israel gave back unto Moses. And verse 8 again said, "And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." And I want us to see that their response this morning, it had great meaning. And sometimes we don't take the time to think about words and what the meanings of the words was. In the senior high Sunday school class this morning, we talked about the difference between happiness and joy. And sometimes we don't think about what the differences are about words we use or the things that we say and about the things that we commit. And these words that they spoke says many things to us. The first thing I want us to see is that the words that they spoke called for a full surrender from the people. Moses shared the words of God. They responded, but it required a full surrender for them. It wasn't what just one or two people decided. Moses just didn't get up there and say, "This is what the Lord says," and one or two people responded back to what he said. That's not what the Scripture said. The Scripture said, all the people, answered together. In other words, all the people, they spoke as one. They spoke as all of one accord. They spoke as one being in unity. They spoke as one being in harmony all together. And they agreed on doing all that the Lord had asked them to do. I wonder sometimes, brothers and sisters, if we have reached that place in our Christian walk with the Lord. Have we reached that place? They had to do what each and every one of us has to do today in our service and in our worship unto the Lord. They had to put aside their differences. And remember how many people came out of Egypt and was going to the promised land. So you can believe that many people trying to get to that place together with all of the hardships that they endured, all the territory they had to cover, you better believe there were probably some differences with them people. But they had to put their differences aside. And I want us to understand that doing so, according to the Word of God, it always brings about a blessing. You recall what the psalmist said in the 133rd Psalm when he said there, "Behold," he said, "how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. And now, brothers and sisters, our outward expressions of unity, they will reflect our inward unity of purpose. And that's what God wants when He wants us to hear His words and what He expects and what He wants from us. It kind of reminds me of the day of Pentecost, doesn't it, you? In Acts chapter 2, we read about that record, and the Scripture says that they were all in one accord in one place. And as you recall that, a portion of God's Word, they spoke and they preached and they talked about and they explained the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll recall the result of the messages that were brought forth that day, that it pricked the people in their hearts. They heard the Word of God. Not only did they hear the Word of God, but the Scripture tells us that they responded to the Word of God. And some 3,000 souls were saved and baptized that day. Praise the Lord. How effective God's Word was that day. And, you know, in the service and the work of the Lord, we've got to be willing to put aside sometimes our personal preferences. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my Christian walk that I've had to put aside my own personal preference. I had to not do something that I was planning on doing or go someplace that I was planning on going, and because I had to put my own self aside and do what I felt like was the right thing to do or what God wanted me to do. And, you know, we've got to be willing to seek God's will. Only God's will is what should be the desire of our hearts. And I believe that Jesus gives us a perfect example of that in the Garden of Gethsemane. As we think about in Matthew chapter 26, we have that record, and it tells us there that it tells us Jesus fell on his face, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, and he said, "Oh Father," he said, "if it be possible," he said, "let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will," but he says, "but as thou wilt." And then a little bit further down, he said, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it," he said, "thy will be done." In other words, Jesus was willing to put aside his personal preferences. He was willing to put aside what he knew was coming or was going to experience so that he could honor, so that he could be obedient unto the things that the Lord had said, so that he could fulfill what the will of God was. And brothers and sisters, we must be willing to do the same. When we are called upon, a full surrender is required from God's people that we might be able to honor and understand the value of our words and what our word is unto the Lord. You know, the words that were spoken by the Israelites, they called for faith. These people had to have a great faith. They referenced all that the Lord hath spoken. And they believed, as Moses spoke to them, they believed that God had spoken, and that the words that were spoken by Moses, that they weren't his words, but they believed by faith that it was the words of God that Moses was relaying unto them. And I know today that the world is just filled with doubters, how the world today is filled with skeptics, those who doubt that God has spoken to and that God has spoken through men. There are those that reject this Bible as God's revelation to us. But I can tell you this morning, our first article of faith sums it up for me. Our first article of faith, it says this: we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the Word of God. Amen? We believe that the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the Word of God. And it finishes up by saying, and it is the only, there's nothing else, it is the only rule of faith and practice. That's what we're preaching. That's what we teach in Sunday school and our Bible studies. We preach and teach the Word of God, and that is our rule and our practice. And that's why we need a full surrender unto the Lord. And that's why we need to be called to faith in the Lord, trusting and depending that what His Word has said, what He has said, that it is the truth. And these people in my reading, they were confident that God had spoken to Moses, and Moses was sharing to them with them what the Lord had said. You know, what has God said to all people today? I don't have time to tell it all, but I can tell you a few of the things that God has said to all people. In the book of Romans, in the third chapter, it tells us that we're all sinners. And then it tells us in the sixth chapter that sin, it brings death. The wages of sin is death. Chapter 3 said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 5 tells us that Jesus loves us. And it tells us that He died for our sins. And in chapter 10, it clearly says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe it. That's the teaching of God's Word. And also a little further on down in that 10th chapter, it tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder this morning, inside or outside the church building, do you need to be saved today? We have to ask ourselves the question, and if you do need to be saved, are you willing to come to Jesus in faith today? Well, I guess that will depend on how great the burden of your heart is. Now, I guess that would depend on how obedient you are to the call of the Lord. You can be saved today where you are, in your car, in the church, anywhere that you make an altar unto the Lord. And as I preached last Sunday, you have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus as He burdens your heart to what your need is. And your need is a full surrender to Jesus in faith. Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice that the words that were spoken to the Israelites, it called for them to follow through. In other words, it called for a response from them. It called for some kind of action on their part to the words that God spoke to them. They said, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." You see, there's a call to action there. The Lord has spoken. Now they've responded and said, "We're going to do it." Not just bits and pieces or the things that we want to do, but they said, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do." What are you saying, preacher? What I'm trying to say this morning, and it's not enough just to say that we believe. That's not enough. Faith results in good works. James said in the second chapter, in the 14th verse, he said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now the Bible is clear that by grace are you saved through faith. I believe that with all my heart this morning. But James's message is, if we really believe, we will do what Jesus says to do. We'll live for Him. We'll do the things or the works that we know that please Him, because it's right here in this book. What he's really saying is that we'll live a Christ-centered life, not a Christless life. You see, we need to be in the center of God's will. And there's too many people that are living a Christless, without Christ, in this world today. And that wasn't what James was saying is, you know, verse 20, he said that faith without works, it's dead. Faith without works is dead. His point, brothers and sisters, is that true faith is a living faith. When the Lord saves us, He regenerates us. He gives us a new life. And in that new life, we live by faith, a faith that works and a faith that stirs a person to live for the Lord. We're to live a righteous life. We're to live a pure life according to God's Word. And we're to give all that one is and all that one has, I believe, to reach out to the world in which we live today, to reach out to, as the expression we say, a lost and dying world. Because of the iniquity or because of the sin that's all about, people are dying in their sins and spending eternity separated and apart from God in hell with the devil and his angels. And therefore, we need to be aware of God's Word and the Word that we gave to God when we surrendered unto Him, that we might be able to reach out to those that are lost and undone. The draw of the world, I'm talking to my brothers and sisters right now, the draw of the world can derail Christians. It can get us off the rail. It can get us off what we have committed to the Lord. And it's sad to say, but, you know, Christians have to do something about that. And this pandemic situation they're in, it's not helping anything. It's pushing people farther away from the Lord, not drawing people to the Lord. People are off the rail. What can we do about it? Is there anything that we could do? What should we do? I thought about the 15th chapter of Luke. We have a record there that most of us know by the title of the Prodigal Son. And I'm not going to turn over there and read all the scriptures there, but it's an account of the Bible if you've had Sunday school or read your Bible. And there's many different points that can be taken from this passage of Scripture. But the condensed story of it is that a young man goes to his father. And he goes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. And he didn't want to wait until his father died. He wanted his portion. He wanted his inheritance right away. And the Bible tells us that the father agreed. The father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible said that he moved away, and then the Bible says specifically that he wasted his substance. In other words, he wasted his inheritance. And the Bible says the way he did that was he did it with riotous living. I guess the way we'd understand that today is he partied it all away. And pretty soon he had nothing. And then when it was all spent, the Word of God says that a famine arose. And when that famine arose, he had nothing. He had nothing to sustain himself, nothing to allow him to continue living the way that he was used to living. And the Bible said that he took some work on a farm, feeding swine or feeding pigs. And the Scripture said, and filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Verse 17 tells us, and when he came to himself, you know, he's sitting out there, and I'm paraphrasing, but I can envision it in my mind. He's sitting out there in the mud and the muck with the pigs, and he's feeding them, and he's eating the husks that they're eating. And he says he came to himself. He's sitting there thinking to himself, what in the world am I doing? How in the world did I get to this place? And he said to himself, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? His servants have more than I have. They have extra. And he said, I'm sitting here starving to death and I'm perishing. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But yet when he was a great way afar off, his father saw him. And the Scripture says that his father had compassion on him. And his father ran. He didn't wait for his son to get to him. He saw his son. He had compassion on him. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Listen, that was all true. That was all true. But the father, according to the Scripture, had compassion on him. Not only did he have compassion on him, but he restored him to his place in the family. And the Bible says that he rejoiced over his return. And I think, brothers and sisters, that's how it is with us. When we get derailed, it happens in our lives. Things come up and things distract us and the world hinders us. And sometimes we can get derailed. But we have to be moved to action and we have to be moved to follow through, just like the children of Israel did. And like the prodigal son, we got to see our condition. We got to see where we're at. And then, like the prodigal son, we got to return to the Father. And we return to the Father and we do as the Father has commanded and as we promised to do. What I'm talking about is I'm meaning putting back value to our word that we made unto the Lord. Although I've been preaching this morning mostly to those who have been saved, I will say this, if there's someone amongst us this morning that's unsaved, I believe my text can be applied to you as well. It said, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And I can tell you, if you're unsaved this morning, the Word of God said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what the Lord said. The Lord has spoken. If you're lost, I got to ask, will you do it? Will I do what, preacher? The Lord said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Will you repent? Will you be saved if the Lord is speaking to your heart today? If you're burdened, if you're convicted, will you do it? In Acts chapter 16, another familiar portion of God's Word, we've got two men of God. One is named Paul, the other is named Silas. The Bible says that because of their witness for the Lord, the Bible says that they were beaten and their feet were fast in the stocks. And it tells us that suddenly there was a great earthquake. And in that portion of skipping down a little bit from there, it says in verse 30 that the jailer, he brought them out. And he said unto them, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And when he had brought them into his house, the scripture says he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing with all his house. What I'm trying to say to you in this account is that this man and his household, they acted in faith. They heard the word of God. They responded to it by acting in faith on what God had said, and they did what God had told them to do, and they were saved. The Lord will do the same for you if you're convicted, if you're burdened in your heart this very day. My thought this morning, again, was the value of your word. The value of words. Say what you mean what you say. Do what you say you will do. Now the Israelites, they again said, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." Those were good words. Those were good sounding words. But not if they weren't meant. Not if they weren't kept. Not if they were broken. If they were, they don't mean anything. They didn't mean anything. The Israelites broke. They broke the promise that they had made to the Lord. Now, I'll tell you, God was true to His word. He spoke to them as He had promised. And you can read in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter through the 31st chapter, and you'll see that God gave them the Ten Commandments. You'll find that He gave them laws concerning the people. And they agreed to obey them, but they didn't keep their word unto the Lord. How do you know, preacher? Read chapter 32. Chapter 32, we read how they broke the law and they began worshiping a golden calf. Verse 1 tells us that when the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down out of the mount, remember, he went up to meet with the Lord, he was going to get the Ten Commandments, and the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. Didn't come down fast enough for them. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him." In other words, Moses is gone. We don't even know if he's alive anymore. We don't even know if he's coming back. How long did it take them to break their promise to do all that the Lord told them to do? People are no different today. Every day, people are breaking their word to the Lord. We need to remember that nothing's hidden from God. We need to remember this morning that He sees all and He knows all. And in this 32nd chapter in verse 7, it continues to say, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." My goodness, brothers and sisters, how many Christians have corrupted themselves today? "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Man. The Lord referred to these people as stiff-necked people. The Lord was calling them stubborn. He was calling them obstinate. He was calling them pig-headed, if you will. And He said this to Moses. He says, "Now therefore, let me alone, for my wrath," and that word wrath means anger. He said, "For my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." I encourage you to turn and read the account for yourself. But the lesson I want us to see is that breaking their covenant with God brought about the discipline from the Lord. And I can tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, that disobeying the Lord will always bring judgment of the Lord upon those that are disobedient unto Him. We need to be aware of the value of our word. You know, growing up, that used to have a lot more significance. My lesson this past Wednesday that I sent out was talking about having a good name. And going along with a good name was a person's good word. You know, there was a day gone by when somebody told you something, their word was good. If they said they were going to do it, their word was good. If they said they were going to sell it, they sold it. If they said they were going to buy it, they bought it. If they said they were going to do something, they did it. Didn't need a contract. Didn't need anything, just a handshake. And it was good. We need to be aware of the value of our word. We need to say what we mean. And we need to mean what we say. And we need to do what we say we're going to do. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I've heard many people testify about the day that they were saved. And they said, you know, I prayed and I promised the Lord I would do anything if He would save me. Or I promised the Lord I would do this. Or I promised the Lord that I would do that. I wonder this morning, brothers and sisters, did you make commitments to God if He'd save you? I know He saved you because of your professions. I've heard them before. I wonder this morning, did you speak words of faith? Did you speak words of full surrender unto the Lord if He'd save you? The critical question that I have this morning is, have you failed to carry out, or have you stopped doing what you said you would do? What is the value of your word today? I'll say this in closing. If you find yourself in the same place that the children of Israel found themselves in my message today, the solution is no different. The solution, it's still the same. And the solution is repentance. The solution is repent to the Lord with a repentant heart. I'm not talking about getting saved again, because you can't do that. Once saved, always saved. But you know what? God's people sometimes stray away from God. We get derailed sometimes. Things distract us, and we're not where we were at one time in our life. And we know it. And we know what it is that causes us to be derailed. You don't want to stay in that condition. You don't want to stay in that position. You want to get back on track. Just like the children of Israel. And the way to do that was to go before the Lord with a repentant heart. And in doing so, to be able to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. That's what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That should be the desire of our hearts every single day of our life. To be in that condition or position where we're forgiven of the Lord and that we're being obedient to our word to the Lord and follow through on whatever our old commitments or whatever promises it was that we made to the Lord. We need to get to the place again, if you're not there now, just like the children of Israel. And all the people answered together. See, that's the way God's people need to be. We're to be a family, and we are a family. We're the family of God. And there's to be this harmony and this unity as we worship and serve the Lord together. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And that needs to be the desire of our hearts today. And I pray that it is, and I pray that as Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord, we don't need an intervention to do that for us like the children of Israel does. God hears our hearts. He knows our hearts. And He knows what the desire of our heart is today. And I pray that it is to do the will of God to the very best of our ability, to fulfill the commitments, the word that we made to Him, and hear His word that He gave to us, that we might be able to fulfill it. There's a lot of work to be done for God's. There's a lot of work for God's people to do that needs to be done. You can talk to anybody you want to. Everybody's got a different opinion about where we are in this world. Is the Lord coming back tomorrow? Is it a long way off? Where are we at? All that's going on. Oh, it's the signs of end times. I don't get caught up in that and argue with anybody about it other than to say that I know God's Word says He's coming back. Now, there's a span of time before He comes back, and I don't know when that is. And neither do you, and neither does anybody else. Only the Father knows. But in the meantime, God has spoken to us, and there's a great need for us to speak to others about the truth of His Word, for us to fulfill the promises of whatever we made to Him and what He's instructed us to do in His Word. May God bless you is my message today. Be obedient to the Lord. Follow the Lord. Brother Allen, let's have a song. Well, what do you need a song for, Pastor? Well, I think a song is always good to give invitation. I don't know anybody's heart here today. I mentioned that there might be somebody here that's unsaved. If so, they may be waiting for me to give an invitation for them to pray and seek the Lord. There may be someone here today that heard my message. And maybe you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I know I'm saved, but I need to get forgiveness, and I need to have value.